I'd like you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I want to start off there this evening, and I have something I want to share with you I think will be a blessing. 1 Greg, how is your father? Your father had bypass surgery today? He's doing well? Okay. Dwayne? Triple. We'll take a moment and pray for Greg's father. You know, for those of you who don't know, Greg's the baby of 8 children. And your father, is he close to 70, Greg? 74. Probably got the oldest father. Anybody have a father older than 74 here? Look at that, Greg. You have that great honor. Baby Greg. You have a brother that's 56, don't you? 54. That's how many have fathers that are 54? There you go. Anyway, we want to pray for Greg's father, and it's pray especially for his salvation, because Greg's pretty sure he does not know the Lord. And you never know. It isn't amazing what pain will do in a person's life. It is amazing, isn't it? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much tonight for Greg. We thank you, Lord, that you destined him to be the 8th child of that family. We thank you, Lord, that you saved his life. We thank you that you've radically changed his life. Thank you for his perseverance, Lord, because I remember when Greg first started coming around and they weren't too excited. The baby of the family wanted to be a preacher, and they weren't too excited that he was trying to live for Christ. I thank you that he persevered. Today he has the respect of all his family members. They come to him so often with their troubles and their difficulties. Father, we lift Dwayne up to you tonight. We ask you to give him more years to live. We ask you especially that you'd give him eternity, that he would come to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I had a... Some of you know this story. I won't go into great detail, but tonight my father-in-law called, my wife's father. And Kathy and I were out in my office. We were having a chat, and the phone rang, and I thought, well, maybe I should get the phone. And so I picked up the phone, and it was Kathy's dad. We usually don't talk on the phone. It's always kind of been uncomfortable. I usually go, hey, Doug, how are you? Oh, hey, Kathy's right here. And I pass the phone off. And you know me, I'm a fairly people person, but it's just always been really awkward. Part of the reason it's been awkward is because of the great animosity that there was from him towards me. And when I first, after I proposed to Kathy, and then, of course, you go to talk to the family, which is a traditional and respectful thing to do, we went down, and it was a terrible, awful, awful, awful situation, and he ended up throwing me out of the house, literally, except he didn't grab me. He just kicked me out. But the next morning, he came to the motel room where I was at, and he was in a rage, absolutely in a rage, and his face was beet red, and he was clenching his fist, and he, you know, was this far from me and said, you know, get the blankety-blank out of town and don't ever come back here and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I didn't have much of a choice because they decided to literally keep Kathy a prisoner in their home. I had no idea where they lived, and I knew that it would be useless to go knock on the door, and I knew they wouldn't even let her answer the phone. So it was really, really, really a bad situation. That situation has never been talked about, and it got worse after that. Things got a lot worse, and they lasted a long time. And a couple years ago, his wife left him, which was a total shock to everybody in the family and to him. It was the pain that was needed in his life, at least, and it really softened his heart. Well, Kathy's had some good visits with him, but I haven't. And I've always tried to be friendly as you can be when you know somebody doesn't really like you that much. This last weekend, weekend before, we went to Kansas for a wedding in the family, and it was a really awkward position for me because Doug has asked me to do his wedding. He is marrying a new lady named Donna, which is the same name as his old wife. But this Donna has the Holy Spirit, and she really loves the Lord. She's a dear Christian lady. And, you know, I was quite honored that he would ask. I was, of course, you got to understand it's real strange because they never even came to my wedding. And now he's asking me to perform his. So I've had a lot of mixed emotions, to be honest. So we went down to this wedding, and I didn't want to go. I drug my feet a lot, and I begged to try to get out of going. And I knew it was going to cost me about $500. I didn't want to spend it, especially on this family. That's how I felt and thought. And I didn't want to go down to this wedding and sit there and be bored out of my mind and be around people who've never liked me for 25 years. And I'm just, you know, I'll stay home, you drive the van, honey. That was kind of my attitude. And it wasn't a good attitude. It wasn't right. It was just that was what it was. So, you know, I went and I ended up getting food poisoning. I told him, I knew I shouldn't come. And it was so bad that we had a meeting with Doug and his new wife. This is the first time he and his ex-wife are together, and she's with her new husband. And, you know, this is the first time the whole family gets to see everybody. And so, you know, it's just real weird. I don't need this in my life. That's how I'm thinking. It wasn't spiritual, and it wasn't right. Instead of thinking I need to go and be an agent of God's mercy and love, I didn't want to be there at all. So we're sitting in the wedding, and Donna's here, and old Donna, and evil Donna, she's right here, and Doug and new Donna are right here, and I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, you know, this is absurd. You know, I'm sitting here at this wedding, I spend all this money, and these people didn't even come to mine. This is pathetic, you know. So I tried to make the most of it, and the next morning I wake up really sick. It was probably God spanking my butt, to be honest, but... So I missed the meeting with them about their wedding. We have to fly out Labor Day weekend to do their wedding. The next day, the trip home was miserable. I was moaning the whole time. I was in tremendous pain, trying to not go diarrhea and all that kind of stuff. You know how that is. And it was just intense pain. And I'm just moaning and moaning. And so anyway, he called, and I answered the phone today, and he started talking, which he hasn't done often. How are you, Mark? Well, I'm fine. He said, man, I'm really sorry, Mark. You got sick. You know, I'm really sorry. Well, how do you think it happened? So I told him how I thought it happened. And then he said, well, I want you to know something. He said, I can't tell you how many people I've told how honored I am that you're coming out to do my wedding and how much it means to me, Mark. And I said, well, geez, you know, thanks, Doug. And he goes, well, you know, something else I want to tell you. He said, Mark, I don't know exactly how to say this. He's never said this to me. He said it to Kathy. He said, I have few regrets in my life, but probably the biggest regret, if I could go back and change anything at all in my life, would be how I treated you and Kathy. He said it was unthinkable. He said, I really don't have anybody to blame. I need to shoulder the responsibility for it. And I said, well, you know, Doug, he said, I want you to forgive me. I said, well, Doug, I have forgiven you. I have. And God had a plan for it. And he said, well, I'm sorry I had to use that plan, you know. And it was just so remarkable to think how many times, to be honest, I could have really wrecked this relationship, how many times I wanted to. I wanted to just give him a piece of my mind. You know that about me. I wanted so many times just say, you know, you're just a moron. You guys are lowlives. You know, you got the most extraordinary daughter I've ever known. And I'm not half bad myself, but that, you know, that's beside the point, you know. I love your daughter. I love your grandchildren. Mine, he never did. And I was just thinking how the Lord answers our prayer, how he answers our prayers, and how, brother and sister, he exalts the righteous. I want you to know that. I want you to know that. The world, they don't, but God does. And he's near the brokenhearted, and he's near the lowly. And you may have people in your life, maybe friends, maybe family, who, you know, just aren't too excited about what you're doing. Remember this, God is. And he's really the only father and the only opinion that matters. It's his. And in time, one of my favorite promises in the Bible is in Psalms, I think it's 37, where it says, and he will make your righteousness shine like the noonday brightness and the justice of your cause like the sun. Eventually, it will become obvious you were righteous. God will stand by you even when others don't. Anyway, that was very touching for me, and it was very encouraging. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I want to start in this verse tonight because, you know, it's always been interesting to me when I visit with Christians how, and we've said this before, how distorted of a view of God we have, and the distorted view we have of Christianity. So many Christians think that their life is not supposed to be enjoyable. And I meet so many Christians that are kind of struggling with almost false guilt that, you know, I'm not supposed to have any fun. And I'm going to give you an example of what I mean in a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Tell those who are rich in the world not to be proud and to put their trust in their money, which will soon be gone, but to put their trust in the living God who richly, and you want to underline this, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. To be real honest, I don't think most people think God enjoys anything. I don't think that's what they think of when they think of God. They think of piety, they think of righteousness, they think of holiness, which are all, by the way, pleasurable. But they don't think of God just enjoying something. Like, you know, God is too busy. God is a type A. He's driven. If he were here tonight, he would be pacing back and forth because he's just waiting for the music to get over and get on something more important. It's kind of like, you know, we're made in God's image, right? All of us, the Bible tells us we're made in his image. Yet somehow we think God, now be careful with this when I say this, that God is so different than we are. An example, a mother and father bring home a new baby from the hospital. What does everybody do from the new baby? Is dad pacing the floor going, God, when is this kid going to grow up? I want to fish with him. I want to play catch with him. This is just, I'm sick and tired of waiting. I've known a lot of fathers and some that weren't very righteous men, but it's amazing what a little baby does to a big, strong, hard-hearted man. You know, you got these football players, you know, they'll take your head off as soon as look at you. I mean, they throw their 380-pound body or 260-pound body at somebody to try to kill them. And then you put their first baby in their hands and tears come rolling down this massive giant's face, you know, because it's a little baby. Why? Because they enjoy that little baby. But for some reason, it never dawns on us that God enjoys us. For some reason, it never dawns on us that enjoyment is okay. I was talking with some very mature Christians recently. And it's amazing sometimes the misinformation that people have or perceive in their mind about a pastor like me, for example, or Kathy. And a good friend of mine, he's a pastor and his wife, we've known them for 14 and a half years. She was telling me recently, she said, you know, Mark, I'll never forget the first time it was summer. And she said, Doug was a pastor. Her name is Nikki. And I came over to your house just on the spur of the moment. And I knocked on the door and I saw the cars there, but no one came to the door. So I walked around to the backyard and there is your wife laying out in the sun. Just laying there. And at first I was really struck. I thought, my gosh, you know, Kathy Darling is laying out in the sun. Is that spiritual? So that's exactly what came to her mind. Now today, the first thing that comes to your mind is, oh, that's so unhealthy. Well, you're going to die anyway, okay? So just get over it. So anyway, she said, Mark, it was like 1,000 messages, that one act that happened in 5 seconds. I went home so liberated because you know what? I love the sun. I also like to just sit in a chair, sit in the sun. But I just didn't think it was a spiritual thing to do. I am amazed sometimes at the things that when people start to trust you, they'll let out of their mouth and you go, my gosh, you got to be kidding. You think that? You really think that? God made the sun for you to enjoy. He made the planet for you to enjoy. He made all the things you see. He made food for us to enjoy. And it must break God's heart that food ends up becoming our master. That somehow, you know, I was reading recently of, this morning, the swimmer girl who does Billy Blank's commercials for his Tybo. She's going to go back to the Olympics. I think her name is Dara. She's 33 and she wants to compete again. She recently revealed her story of her struggle with bulimia and how she was scared to death of food. And I thought, wouldn't that be a tragic way to live? Think about it. God made food for you to enjoy the taste, the texture, the flavor. And yet we get frightened of it. All these variety of things that God has given to us for our Sometimes we think, God richly provides us for just what you need and that's it. Don't like it too much. You know? He richly provides, the Bible says, all these things for our enjoyment. For our enjoyment. I was talking with another couple recently and I said, you know, to each person, God has given us principles in His Word. Principles in His Word to obey. But normal for each of us takes on maybe a little different meaning. I was sharing some friends the other day. I said, for example, you know, the other day, my son, I bought him one of these scooters. It's got these big rollerblade wheels on it. It's called a mini scooter. And he just happened to mention it to me that, Dad, that's kind of cool. I like to get one sometimes. So Sunday I went out. He didn't know it. And I surprised him. They were gone to church. And I wasn't at church. I was at the store. And because I already went to church Saturday night. So I went to Toys R Us and I picked this thing up and I wanted to get it home, get it out of the box and get it put together. It's the fold-up kind, you know, really portable. So when he got home, just as I'm getting the last, you know, bolt tightened down, the door opens and Micah comes in and Kathy walks to the steps and her eyes get really big. She goes, Micah, you're not coming. Micah comes to the steps, we get it. I spent 3 hours the first day with Micah. I love this scooter. This thing is a lot of fun, man. You know, we're doing figure eights, seeing who can stay on the longest seconds time on our watches, you know. Micah goes, Dad, he's never said this before. He goes, this is a rush. He said, he goes, this is really addictive. I said, yeah, this is a good addiction, son. So the next day is Monday and it's sunny. And you know, we don't get many of those days. So he and I open the garage door. I sit in my chair and I got my phone in case anybody calls. And I just sit there watching him do this scooter for 2.5 hours. Timing him. We play Olympics and I commentate. You know, it's Micah the Mongoose. He's going left. Oh, my gosh. And then I came up with a deal. It's called I'm on top of the world, where you let go of in both hands and you lean your body against the handle. And it's really dangerous, let me tell you. It's really dangerous. And we're trying all, you know. A lot of people, and I can understand why, they just never get that impression of me for whatever reason. And they think, you know, my gosh, this would be so unholy. And, you know, Mark could never do nothing like that. Well, you're wrong. I would. You know, one of my favorite things to do is, from time to time we have people from the Rock come over and we just sit around and we laugh. I mean, I just watch them laugh and have a good time. Or we watch a movie or we just hang out. You know, it's God richly provided for us everything to enjoy. Sometimes we think that I got to be on task all the time. I got to be on task. Well, part of being on task is enjoying what God gave you to enjoy. Sometimes, you know, I know young Christians, they'll go, okay, if I'm sitting on the plane, I got to witness to everybody in my row. This is probably a terrible thing to say, but I fly all the time and I never witnessed anybody. I'm tired. I'm sorry. I got a lot on my mind. I don't sit there thinking, I might never see them again. The plane might go down. We all die. Well, if we die, we die. I hope we don't, but I want to go home and see my family again. What I'm saying is sometimes our Christianity, we almost get this impression that God's like Pharaoh. More bricks! More bricks! And he's snapping the whip. And maybe sometimes, to be honest, maybe it's my fault because, you know, I challenge you. But you need to make sure that you take my challenge in the way it was intended. If the shoe fits, wear it. If it don't put it on. Examine your own life. Examine your own heart. But that doesn't mean, and this is part of why I'm sharing this tonight, to try to give you a sense of balance and perspective. You know, it's just, I have a friend. She's an architect. She's very, very good architect, and she's one of our singers at Evergreen. I've known her for years. I knew her in Ames. She's from another country. She loves the Lord with all of her heart, okay? She loves the Lord. She's been following the Lord 25 years. The other day I called her up because I know she had this Honda Civic that she took really good care of, and it's only got 50,000 miles on it. And I think it's a 94. And so I was going to see if she wanted to sell it because I knew she was interested in getting a different car sometime. She likes cars. So, and of course, she can pay for them. That's part of the deal. So she's really good steward with her money. So I called her on the phone and I said, Lisa, I said, I was wondering if you were interested in selling your Honda. She goes, well, how did you know? You must have heard. I said, heard what? Because I knew this was a year ago. We were singing together. She said, I'd really like to get one of those Beetles, those new Beetles. So I thought maybe she'd got her Beetle. I said, well, what, did you get your Beetle? She goes, oh, no. She said, I put in an order for a new PT Cruiser. She said, it'll be here in 8 months. I said, okay, can I go for a ride in it? You know, those are so cool. And they're so reasonably priced at only $16,995. Stripped down, of course. Anyway, she was afraid, and I knew this, that somebody was going to judge her and think, oh my gosh, you know, what are you doing? Well, I wasn't going to judge her. Because a couple things. Number one, I knew where her heart is. I also knew her faithfulness with her money, and I knew she could handle that. In fact, she'll go pay cash for it. What? Well, no, actually, I went and bought two others. But no, I had no ulterior motive, my brother. I did not. It will be available for one of you other fine young people in the room to purchase. And she wanted a little more than I wanted to pay. And I never feel comfortable talking a Christian down, a brother and sister. I don't mind other people, but I never feel comfortable telling a brother or sister, I gave you $3,000, that's it. Look at the scratch on that thing. I don't mind doing that with a dealer, but I don't like doing it with a Christian. Anyway, I know sometimes you've heard me say things, and I want to try to put them in perspective for you. You've heard me talk about being careful with what you've owned. You've heard me talk about, and you'll hear me some more about this weekend, by the way, talk about these things. We live, obviously, in a very materialistic society. That does not mean you can't enjoy your microwave. I enjoy it every time I push the button. It's like, this is the coolest microwave, you know? That doesn't mean you can't be down washing your face going, wow, it's nice to have a soft water or water softener, you know? That doesn't mean you can't sit in front of your 37-inch TV once in a while and watch a movie. The point is, though, is there balance in your life? Are things in perspective in your life? Or do things own you? And that's what's often the problem, and that's why I speak about that so hard and so firmly. But brother and sister, I want you to know that God called us not only to a life, yes, of sacrifice, yes, of commitment, but in all that, we enjoy that which God brings into our life. We enjoy our friendships. We enjoy our relationships. We enjoy the little things in life. We enjoy the big things in life. Paul says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether I have plenty or whether I have a lot. The secret is, God, you gave me this, but God, you gave me this. Thank you for both. And enjoy it. I was talking with a mother recently, and these are some of the kind of conversations I have with people. See, because the truth sets you free. When you don't know the truth, you're not free. God wants you to be free. So I was talking with his mother, and she has a couple children and expecting another child. And she said to me, she said, Mark, sometimes I asked her because I could tell she was having trouble spitting it out. I said, do you really like being a mom? She said, no. It's really hard for me, Mark. They said, well, why? Let's talk. Don't feel bad about it. Let's talk about it. Why is it hard? Because I always feel like there's things that are never done. This person happened to be a straight-A student, 4 point in college, had a very, very big medical career in her past. And since she got married, became a mom, and she decided to do other things, she and her husband. So I said to her, I said, you know, just so you know, the early years of parenting are by far the hardest. Well, unless you end up with a rebellious teen, then it's pretty painful. But I said, by far the most difficult is 0 to 1, and then maybe at 2 you have another one, and then maybe at 3.5 you have another one. You got these diapers everywhere, you got poop everywhere, you got crying everywhere, you got this one needs discipline, this one needs training, oh my gosh this, oh my gosh that. Your favorite hobbies don't seem to get done, there's always a pile of laundry to do. And I said, you know what, you know, I'll tell you my secret, me and Kathy's. I said, who cares if the house is clean? I said, now today, I said, you have to understand that this house looks like a model home almost every day. Why? Well, I'm living with 6 adults. And it's very easy to keep on top of them. I said, if you'd have come to us when they were younger, that wasn't the case. We did our best. You didn't walk into the bathroom and go, oh, gag me, because it was filthy and vile. I said, you know, we used paper plates for the last 10 years. Did you know that? That's right. I bought them and threw them away. My wife didn't have time to stand around and do the stinking dishes. We got more important and more enjoyable things we like to do with our time, like be together, like hang out, like enjoy these kids that God gave us. I don't want to spend the whole life spending our time upkeeping a thing when we could be enjoying each other. You know what I'm saying? She said, are you serious? I said, sure I'm serious. And I said, secondly, she's also had some health problems. I said, You know, I never resented my wife's health problems as a husband. Her chronic fatigue, her thyroid, underactive thyroid, which caused a lot of problems, and her terrible bad back. I said, I just thought it's the hand God dealt me. So I just deal with it cheerfully. If that meant that I went to bed after her every night, which I did, and got up earlier, that I did laundry, that I got the groceries every week, that I helped things around the house, didn't bother me at all. I was just glad to have this precious treasure God gave me. I never one time resented it. I never thought, gall, I can't run with the Mustangs. I just did the best I could. I just did the best we could. I enjoyed the life God gave. I've enjoyed the last 25 years. That doesn't mean sometimes things don't rub me the wrong way and I scream a little, yell a little, say ouch a little. But I look back in the last 25 years of my life and 21 being married, it's like, I enjoy this life. I enjoy you all. I enjoy the rock. I enjoy my life. I enjoy my wife. I enjoy my day. I enjoy the car God gives me. It's fun to shift and pretend I'm a race car driver. I'll never have a Porsche, you know. I just won't. You know, my wife asked me recently, Mark, you recently, what, the last couple of days, I helped Celeste and Jeremy each get a different car. And we got really good deals on the cars and paid cash for the cars. So Kathy said, Mark, after I started, I really like driving their cars. She goes, Mark, you deserve one like this. Get yourself one. And I said, well, honey, I said, I would. I said, but you know, for the first time in my life, I got money saved. And I said, you guys are first to me. And so one day, if I about double what I have now, and then you know, a few of the kids get married, and that's not coming out of my pocket. I said, I'll tell you what, I promise, I'll get one. I'll get one. But for now, I said, I'm glad you guys have one. And I'll just drive the beater. But at least it's kind of fun. At least I can shift it. You know, and pretend I'm driving a race car, you know. I hope you're getting my point here, brother and sister. It's okay. You know, I remember the first time I got my Ultra Rock Hopper mountain bike. I have to stay away from mountain bike shops. I'll be the first one to tell you. I love steel, aluminum, and titanium. It's all, God, girls, it's a guy thing, but it's like touching my wife. I don't know how to describe it. It's like, I'm sorry. I don't know if any of you guys can relate. Anybody here seen a new Passat? It's a little bit like sitting your seat on the Passat. It's just does something to you. Now, it's different. It's different, okay? But it's you appreciate that kind of artistry. So I can go to a mountain bike shop, and I'm going, you know, $3,000. Look at that thing, man. Look at it. Ride that thing. Let's shift that thing. And I used to be a machinist, and I used to make things like that and turn the steel and turn the aluminum. So it's like art to me. The other day I was with Kathy, my favorite furniture store. It's the first time I've gone the last year. Well, the last 3 months since we moved into a house. Pier 1 Imports. I love Pier 1 Imports. I love their stuff. It is so cool. You can have Gabbert's. You can have that other stuff. And they have this furniture. It looks like it came from 1850 out of somebody's cabin. And I think it's called Southwestern something. And then I go over to the silverware. Now, I've never been in a silverware. I could use plastic. I could use none. Just my hand. And I walk over to this cabinet, you know. And they only have 4 sets. And I said to Kathy, yeah, I got to admit to you, I've never been in a silverware, but I'd pay $22 a set for that right there. That's art. That's not silverware. It's like this folded over steel or this, you know, you just have to see it. Go to Pier 1 and you'll know what I mean. It's not rich. It's not like gold plated. It's just art. That's like why I bought this ring. Why wear a ring when you can wear a piece of art? Normal rings are so boring. Just a gold crummy band. You know, I want a piece of art. So that's just me. That may not be you. This Bible cover. I got this plain old Bible, and one day I was in the Rockport shop, and I thought, they had this. It was usually $100 because it was a planner. Well, I threw the planner away, bought it. I said, it'd been sitting there for 2.5 years, see, because I could tell what the date was in the planner. I said, I'll give you $20 for that. $20? It was $100. I said, yeah, but it's been sitting here 2.5 years. 20's better than nothing. And I like this little steel thing, you know, in here. And she said, all right, I'll sell it to you. Now everybody envies my Bible cover, but you can't have it. It's mine. And you can't find a copy either because it's the only one. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's okay. What I'm trying to say is it's okay to enjoy the things that God blesses your life with. Am I making sense? It's okay to enjoy your day. It's okay to enjoy your job. It's okay to enjoy your friends. It's not okay to worship them. And that's what happens in America, and that's what happens with many Christians. But I would want you to understand, maybe sometimes you've gotten the wrong impression of me as a pastor. You may think, you know, Mark, geez, he must pray 22 hours every day. He must, you know, he probably reads his Bible 5 hours every day. And does he ever have fun? My whole life's fun. I mean, I enjoy going 100 miles an hour in life, not in the car. Okay. And I enjoy, you know, working out, and I enjoy hanging with people, and I really enjoy my family. And I enjoy watching my kids grow up, and I enjoy watching my son on his scooter, and I just enjoy, and I enjoy my wife, and I enjoy her a lot. I just would never want any of you to get the wrong impression, like, you know, wow, I was going to take a vacation. Great, go take one. What you wouldn't want to do, and this will tell you, I'll have to do this in the future weeks. The reason I get so firm sometimes with young people is because you're taking vacations that you have to borrow money to take. That's not a good idea. Okay? Part of why I share some of the things I do is because God gives you things to enjoy, but make sure He gave it to you, and you're not out there stretching yourself so far out that you're under the pressure of the world all the time, because it was your appetite that's getting the best of you and not a discerning and wise decision. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, you know, if I have a mountain bike, great, save up and get it. Learn to be diligent. Learn to be disciplined with your things. There's nothing wrong with having something you go, wow, I really enjoy this. Now, you know, if you can enjoy something that's a little less expensive than a Passat might be or some other car, it might be a wise thing to do, unless you've got a lot of money, because $400 payments a month aren't too fun. I could have some people come up here and share. Sometime I will, just to tell you, make sure you take the long view of things. The long view of things. But whatever it is that God allows you to have, whatever He allows you to do, maybe in your service to Christ, enjoy it. Enjoy the Lord. Well, that's all I'm going to share tonight. We're going to end early this evening, and we got our conference coming up.